It's really been good to be here this morning. Appreciate all the good preaching that we've already heard, the good singing, fellowship. It's been a real good meeting, amen. I've thoroughly enjoyed our time together. Glad I got to meet these missionaries and some of these other preachers as well. It's been a real blessing. To be honest with you, I'd heard about Brother Bob for several years and just hadn't never met him. Good to meet Brother Bob. Good to meet Brother Lockhart again. Hadn't seen him in a while. Brother Rose, heard a whole lot about your daddy. Amen. It's good to meet you and your family. And I just thank the Lord for what He's done in our hearts. Amen. Have your Bibles this morning. Go ahead and turn with us, if you would, Book of Ruth. Book of Ruth, chapter number 2. But I do want to give you just a little thought. And I will ask you to please forgive us. I probably won't stay around long in fellowship after the service. We will pull out from here in just a little while. And I got to be in Monroe, Louisiana in the morning. And so we've got about a 10-hour drive this evening. And start a meeting there tomorrow morning. So I appreciate your prayers for traveling grace. And I can't do it like I used to. I'm not as old as some of these other fellas, but man, it sure has caught up with me early. Amen. I get sleepy. And I ain't got enough sense to let my wife drive. I'm too scared of her driving. I try to doze off if she's driving, and we hit a bump, and I think we're off the bank. I appreciate your prayers. Thank you so much. Let me mention a couple of things before I give you the thought this morning. For several years, I pastored for 17 years in Western North Carolina. And then after the pastorate in 2010, we went full-time into Mission Helps and served in Mission Helps for 7 years. And then came on with Prayer Baptist in 2017. But when we started in 2010, we had a MK program, Missionaries Kids program. And us along with Brother Dwayne Moore. And every summer, we've been involved in several youth camps for years. We usually average anywhere from 5 to 7 youth camps during the summers. And we have Missionaries Kids come and spend the summer with us. We've had as many as 15 to 20 kids spend anywhere from a month to 2 months with us during the summertime. And they're a big part of those youth camps. And then we also take a couple of weeks off during the summer just to do something special with them MKs. I think you'll agree with me. I know these mamas and daddies will. They need a break every now and then. And it's not that they're getting a break from ministry and getting a break from God. We just give them a little bit different look at it. Amen. And if we've got the funds available, we're continuing to do that. We didn't get to do it this last summer because of COVID, but we sure are hoping that things open up this summer that we can do it again. And if we've got the funds, we'll pay for the transportation costs and get those MKs off the field for just a little while. If it's just a week, that's all right. If it's 2 weeks, that's fine. If it's 2 months, that's fine. And we love on them and just try to show them a good time. And you can crucify us for this if you want to, but we'll take them to Dollywood and we'll play with them. We'll just have a big old time for these MKs. And I am so impressed what y'all did last night. It's so refreshing to see a church that thinks about those MKs. Most of the time, they don't get thought of. Their lives have been threatened before the meetings. Some of them has been beat to a pulp. And they're expected to be on their best behavior. God forbid those kids do anything not mom and dad asked for. Amen. So, and they've not had no say-so in the matter at all.
Yes, sir.
They don't get to choose where they go. They don't. Half the time, they don't even get to choose where they get to eat. Amen. And so they've had it tough from time to time. And they see a side of ministry that a lot of people never see. And I think Brother Rose might agree with it. He's probably not seen it. Maybe he might have. But I've seen some bitterness end up in the hearts of some MKs. We don't want that. I want to see second and third generation of MKs. And we had one in particular I'll never forget. Came into the summer. She'd spent about 2 months with us. And we was getting ready to take her back, put her on a plane, get her back to her field. And she sat down and wept and said, "I don't want to go back. I don't want to go back." And it broke my heart. So you help us pray about that. We want to continue to try to be a blessing. Now, you that are here, when you youngins get a little bit older, keep us in mind. You don't have to be a prayer Baptist for us to help you. I promise you that. We'll do anything we can to help you, your family, your kids, and try to maybe make a difference in them. Amen. And then I'll mention this real quickly. Been a few years back now, the Lord laid another ministry on our heart. It's called Music for Missions. Now, most of you will understand that when these missionaries get to the field and they're starting a church from scratch, then that family's going to have to provide everything. That man's going to have to be the preacher, the janitor, the bus driver or van driver or whatever else. And anything, he's going to have to be the choir leader. And the choir is usually going to be that family. And I don't know if you appreciate good music or not, but it's good to have some kind of music backing you up. Amen. If it ain't but six strings, that's all right. A little music helps. And so we've got a little ministry. We try to put some instruments in the hands of some MKs, especially anybody for that matter, but especially them MKs, and let them learn them. And who knows, maybe by the end of deputation, they can provide a little music. Not every missionary's wife can play a piano. And it's a blessing to have a little music. So I said all that to say this. If you ever got any strings laying around, any kind of musical instruments, if nobody's using them, if they're just collecting dust, you get them to us and we'll clean them up. Amen. We'll tune them up. We'll fix them up. And we'll find somebody to play them. Amen? So just keep that in mind. And if you want to send us something or holler at us, we'll come by and pick it up when we get a chance. And usually when I come to a missions meeting like this, I usually bring two or three extra instruments in case there's a MK that might want one. This time I just didn't have the room since we're going to be gone for a period of time. And so I've got probably five or six guitars and a couple of mandolins and stuff already at the house ready to go. So if you know a missionary that needs some instruments, we've even been able to provide a couple of pianos for some missionaries. Keyboards. With Keith Shoemaker sent over a container. We put two big heavy keyboards on there. And they ended up in Africa. Amen. So you help us pray about that as well. All right. Ruth chapter number 2. Just a simple little thought again. I think we've probably already heard the message of the hour. Sweet spirit here today. And I'm thankful for it. If you found your place in Ken and Abel, let's stand together just for few moments as we read our text. Preacher, thank you again for allowing me to be here. It's been such a blessing. And I'm so honored. I really am honored just to be here. We'll continue to pray for Brother O'Malley. Good to see Sister Kim. And I love Brother John. Amen. Hope he's able to be with you in the morning. Amen. Hope y'all are able to be here in the morning. Maybe that snow will hold off. That'd be good if it did. I'm rambling. Let me read. All right. Ruth chapter number 2. Begin reading in verse number 1. The Bible said, Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's, a mighty man of wealth, of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabite said unto Naomi, "Let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him in whose sight I shall find grace." And she said unto her, "Go, my daughter." And she went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers. and her hap was to light on a part of the field belonging unto Boaz, who was the kindred of Elimelech. And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said unto his reapers, "The Lord be with you." And they answered him, "The Lord bless thee." And then said Boaz unto his servant that was set over the reapers, "Whose damsel is this?" And the servant that was set over the reapers answered and said, "It is the Moabitish damsel that came back with Naomi out of the country of Moab." And she said, "I pray you let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves." So she came and hath continued even from the morning until now that she tarried a little in the house. And then Boaz said unto Ruth, "Hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not glean in another field, neither go from hence, but abide here fast by my maidens. Let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap, and go thou after them. Have I not charged the young men that they shall not touch thee? And when thou art athirst, go into the vessels and drink of that which the young men have drawn." Then she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, "Why have I found grace in thine eyes that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger?" And Boaz answered and said unto her, "It hath fully been showed me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, and how thou hast left thy father and thy mother and the land of thy nativity, and art come unto a people which thou knowest not heretofore. And the Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord, Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust." Then she said, "Let me find favor in thy sight, my Lord, for that thou hast comforted me, and for that thou hast spoken friendly unto thine handmaid, though I be not like unto one of thine handmaidens." And Boaz said unto her, "At mealtime come thou hither, and eat of the bread, and dip thy morsel in the vinegar." And she sat beside the reapers, and he reached her parched corn, and she did eat, and it was sufficed, and left. And when she had risen up to glean, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, "Let her glean even among the sheaves, and reproach her not. And let fall also some of handfuls of purpose for her, and leave them that she may glean them, and rebuke her not." Let's pray, Father. Again, we just want to say thank you, Lord, for being so good to us in these days. Thank you, Lord, for the good meeting, Lord, that we had the privilege to enjoy. Lord, thank you for Brother Wayne and his family. Thank you for the church and all the labors and efforts, God, that they put into this meeting. Thank you, Lord, for the visitors that have came by and spent a little time with us. Thank you, Lord, for these missionaries, God, that we've had the privilege to meet. I pray, God, that you bless their efforts and get them to the field as quickly as possible. Now, Lord, for the next few minutes, if you would, please just speak to our hearts again. Give us, Lord, what we stand in need of this morning. And, Lord, whatever's done and, Lord, whatever's accomplished, we'll do our best to thank you for it and give you all the glory. Lord, for it's in Jesus' precious name we pray. And amen. Thank you. You can be seated. I know that we're looking at familiar scripture again this morning. And most of you are very clear with what happened in chapter number 1 of the book of Ruth. There was a famine in the land of bread. Amen. And Elimelech took his family, his wife Naomi, and their two sons, Mahlon and Chilion. And the Bible said they sojourned to the country of Moab. And they get down there in the country of Moab. All of you remember. You remember Elimelech died. And then Mahlon and Chilion taking wives of Moab. And then those boys died as well. And there was Naomi left with only her daughters-in-laws. And finally she heard that there's bread in the house of bread again. And she arises to go back home. And she encourages those girls to stay back. One of them did, but one of them didn't. Amen. Ruth looked at her mother-in-law and said, "Whether thou goest, I will go. Whether thou
lodgest, I will lodge. And Ruth made that trip back home with Naomi. And Naomi arrived back home and they said, is this not Naomi? Naomi, the name means pleasant one. But Naomi looked at him and said, call me not Naomi, but call me Mara. Mara means bitter one. She said, for the Lord hath dealt bitterly with me. Amen. Out of the darkness of chapter number 1 that Naomi endured, in chapter number 2 we see the light, the precious redemption that Ruth gets to enjoy. Amen. God has a way of turning dark nights into bright mornings. Amen. You may be in the midst of a nighttime this morning, but hang on, joy cometh in the morning. Amen. We get over to chapter number 2 and we find that Ruth is in the field. I want to look at chapter 2 just for a few minutes this morning and give you a little thought that the Lord has laid on my heart. First of all, I noticed Ruth's place. She's been given a place in chapter number 2. That place is a field. Amen. And many of you have been given a place. You've been given a field. Amen. Now when I think of field, I think of labor. I think of hard work. But I also think of a harvest. I think of reaping. Amen. Listen, God's given you a field. Your field may not be as big as somebody else's field. Your field may not even be your ideal field. But God's given you a field. Amen. It's where God has put you. Amen. I got to thinking about her field and I noticed this. For her, it was a foreign field. Amen. It wasn't a part of her country. She's in another country in the field. Amen. But then I noticed not only is it a foreign field, it's the field of her future husband. Amen. Oh, it ain't her field. It's His field. It's her Redeemer's field. It's the field of her future. Listen, don't belittle your field. Some of you may not have an attractive field. It may not get you a lot of attention. And who knows, you may not even be able to glean or reap much in your field. Some fields are difficult to work. Amen. I have a dear friend over in the country of Scotland. Have another one in the country of England. And those fields are tough plowing. Amen. It's tough to get a harvest in those fields. I went over and spent a little time with them. And they don't want to take a gospel tract from you. They don't want to hear what you've got to say. Cole, listen, and that's where we came from. And I'm afraid that's where we're headed. Amen. That field don't yield a lot of fruit or a big harvest, but it's their field. Amen. Now you may get to go to a field and you may be able to put down in your prayer letter, talk about winning hundreds to the Lord, and maybe you have a big harvest and you better thank God for your field. But regardless of what you're getting out of your field, keep in mind that's not your field. That's the field of the Redeemers. Amen. That's the field of your future husband. Amen. I'm telling you, enjoy where God has put you. Amen. I thought about her place. She's in a field. She's in a foreign field. She's in the field of her future husband. But then I noticed her purpose. Look at this with me real carefully in verse number 2. What's Ruth doing in the field? Well, let me ask you a question. What are you doing in your field? Amen. You ain't there just to occupy space. You ought to be in your field for a purpose. The first thing I noticed in verse number 2, the Bible said in Ruth the Moabitess, said unto Naomi, let me now go to the field, listen, and glean. Amen. She is there to glean. She's looking for a harvest. Yeah, it don't matter if your field's a nursing home. You ought to be there to glean. Amen. Don't matter if your field's in Africa. You ought to be there to glean. Look for a harvest. Amen. I pray, as it's already been preached this morning, that God would give us a burden for sinners like we've never had before. Amen. My, this world's needing somebody to work for the harvest. Amen. This country needs the church now more than it's ever needed a church. Amen. And may we have a burden for the harvest. She is there to glean. Amen. I encourage missionaries. Hey, don't make it all about just the work. When you get to the field, find some fun things to do with your family. Is that all right to say? Some of you might write me off, but that's all right. Why your own deputation? If you're going by an area and you've got a day or two, take some time off and do something with your family. Get them kids refreshed. Let that wife get refreshed. And then find some fun things to do. But keep in mind, our main goal is not to be on a vacation. We're not just to have a good time. We're looking for a harvest. We're looking to glean in the field that God has placed us in. She's there to glean. But look what else it said in verse number 2. She's there to glean ears of corn after him in whose sight I shall find grace. She's there to glean, but she's there to find grace. Amen. I'll tell you, you better find grace in your field. We need the grace of God regardless of the field that He's placed us in. She's there to find grace. Let me say this. You're only going to find grace in the field God puts you in. Amen. Don't you try to get in another field. Don't you try to get in somebody else's field and expect to find grace there. You'll find grace in the field where God has placed you. I thought about a place. I thought about a purpose. But then I thought about a plan. Look at verse number 8 and 9. The Bible said verse number 8, then said Boaz unto Ruth, "Hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not glean in another field." I like that right there. She's to be faithful to her field. And then I want to throw out a little caution right here. And again, I don't know that I'm the authority to preach this or not, but you be careful about trying to tell somebody else how to work their field. You focus on your field and you give your field everything you've got and let them worry about their field. And then it seems like we got a lot of experts in everybody else's field. I've been sweet all week and I'm trying not to get mean right. But I'm telling you, you just keep your attention on your field. You be faithful to your field and let them work their field. And then, hey, I'm not an expert in no field, to be honest with you. I can't even figure out how to work mine most of the time. But you be faithful to your field and let them be faithful to their field. Amen. I don't try to tell missionaries how to work their fields. I can't do that. That's not my position. They have two others in authority way higher than me. Number one, that's their pastor. Let me just time out right here. You missionaries better keep a good relationship with your pastor. I'm trying to get rough and I guess since I'm leaving, I can, amen. But I wouldn't give you a plug nickel for a missionary that has no relationship with his pastor. Yes, sir. Amen. Say, preacher, you don't know my pastor. I can't work with him. Find you another one. Amen. Amen. I'm telling you, better maintain a relationship with your pastor. Hey, I know you're supposed to be led of the Holy Ghost, but God has put that pastor in your life in a position of authority. Your mission board's not your authority. Your pastor is your authority. Your pastor can lead you, guide you, and help you. And then above the pastor, you got the Holy Ghost. So you sure don't need me trying to tell you how to work your field. Your pastor and the Holy Ghost can handle you. Right. Amen. You just maintain faithfulness in the field that God has put you in. She's to maintain faithfulness in that field. Look what else it said. Verse 8. Go not glean in another field, neither go from thence, and abide here fast by my maidens. Listen to what it said in verse 9. And let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap. She's to be faithful to her field, and she's to maintain focus on her field. Amen. That's right there it is. Let your eyes be on. Don't you be looking at other fields out yonder. You keep your eyes on your field. Amen. I know that some of you'd love to go to another field. Amen. And maybe when you surrendered in the missions, you started trying to make deals with God. My wife always said she'd be all right being a missionary if God would send us to Ireland. I don't know what it is about Ireland. I think she's Irish. She said she'd love to go to Ireland. Amen. Well, God kind of has a sense of humor, and it seems like where we want to go, that's not where we get to go. Amen. I thought about y'all going up yonder to Russia. And that, did y'all get cold watching that video? I've been wanting to ask them all week, y'all like cold weather? I'm just going to say this could change. They probably didn't. At least not that cold. Amen. But regardless if it's the right, the convenient place for you to be, it's where God's put you. Keep your focus on your field. If we ain't careful, and I know how it is in the ministry, we get to looking over at other fields, and man, that pastor over there, man, he's seeing souls saved left and right, and they're busting out the seams, and we get to longing to have his field, or at least a field like his, and we get our eyes off of our field. Hey, if you keep your eyes on your field, who knows what God will do in the long run if you stay focused on your field. Stay focused on your field. If God changes your field somewhere down the road, and maybe He will, but I'm telling you, there's a whole lot of changing going on. I'm wondering if God's got anything to do with a lot of it. Church, let me encourage you to really pray hard for our missionaries during these days. I've said this, and I've said it 100 times, preacher, and I mean it. I said, if I don't have anything else to be thankful for in these days, I can thank God I'm not pastoring. I'm sorry, preacher. I'm glad I'm not. Right? Pastors can't hardly win for losing. If he tries to have service, then you've got this crowd saying you don't care about people, you don't care about your flock, if they get sick, and then if it's right the opposite the other way. He can't win for losing. I'm glad I ain't pastored. But I've seen not only pastors struggling these days, missionaries struggling these days. You see what's happening in a lot of areas. Governments have closed borders. Government has closed doors. And we've got some missionaries that are getting confused thinking God has closed the door. I'm seeing it left and right. And we've got them jumping ministries and saying, well, maybe I need to switch and do something else. Here's what I want to encourage the church and the missionary to do in these days. Be patient. Don't make no quick decisions. Churches are supporting missionaries that can't do what they're supporting them to do. Be patient. Don't kick them off just yet. And on the other hand, missionaries, be patient. If God if government has shut your door, that don't necessarily mean God shut the door. Don't jump fields just yet. I'm seeing a lot of switching going on in these days. And, well, I can't do that, and I can't do that. Be patient. Win souls where you are. Go knock on some doors in your neighborhood around where you're staying or where you're living, and wait on God. Be focused on your field. Keep your focus. It's hard to keep focus in days like this, but try to keep your focus on your field. Her purpose, she's there to glean. She's there to find grace. Her plan, she's to be faithful to her field. She's to be focused on her field. Let me show you this. Then I thought about her provision. While she's in the field, I hope y'all get a hold of this. While she's in the field, that blessed Redeemer is going to make sure she's took care of. Amen. She's been told while she's in the field, you can drink from our water. And he looked at his servants and he said, y'all drop her a few handfuls on purpose. Amen. The source of her provision while she's in a field is going to come from the Redeemer and His servants. I like that. Amen. Oh yes, she's gleaning. But while she's in the field, the Redeemer and them servants are going to keep her fed. You be careful, missionary, about throwing off on churches. They're the ones feeding you during while you're in the field. Amen. You better thank God for every one of them, because it's through those servants that you're being fed. Amen. The source of her provision. Then I thought about the substance of her provision. He told them to drop a few handfuls. I think we looked at some handfuls last night. Remember that handful last night? I think I've learned already that a handful ought to be enough. It may not be as much as you want, but if it's a handful from heaven, it's exactly how much you need. Amen. I'll ask you this. Whose hand is it anyway that we're talking about being full? If it's my hand, there ain't much in there. But if it's His hand, we're going to have enough. Amen. We got missionaries and churches wondering if we're going to make it during these days. Our church is going to keep giving. Are we going to keep our support? I'm telling you, friend, if we don't get no more than a handful, if it's a handful from heaven, it's going to be enough, thank God. He takes good care of those in the field. Amen. Church, let God use you. You be one of them servants and you drop a handful every now and then. Amen. And God will reward. God will take you. He never misses a handful. Anything that's dropped for those in the field, He keeps real good records. You know, He knows every penny that you've ever given to missions. He knows every penny that you've given. He ain't missed none of it. But preacher, what about that one that I just sent to a missionary? He knowed that one too.
Right.
Drop a few handfuls ever so often and take care of those that's working hard in the fields. I thought about this and I'm done. Then I thought about her promotion. Had a terrible past. But God has delivered her from her past. And now she's in a field. I'm hoping that God has delivered you from your past. And now you're in a field. But good news. She didn't stay in the field long. She went from the field to His feet. From His feet to the family. We're not going to be in the field long. I don't think it's going to be much longer. He preached on them perilous times. And I believe we are in the last days. And I believe about any time now. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. I don't know how much we've got left in the field. I don't know how many days, how many months we've got left in the field. But I'm telling you, we ain't going to be in the field forever. Amen. Before too much longer, we're going to find ourselves at His feet. We'll leave the field behind. And we'll find ourselves at the feet of the Redeemer, thank God. Stay faithful to the field. Stay focused on your field until the evening comes and the work's done and we get to go home, thank God. Stay faithful. Stay focused to the field. That's where we're going to get the harvest, is in the field. That's where we're going to do the reaping, is in the field. Stay faithful. Stay focused. Till you feel heads bowed, eyes closed, preacher, you come. Thank you, church, for everything. You know, right? You know what would be good this morning? No matter what your field is or where your field is, it may be right here at Ridgeview Baptist Church. That's where your field is. I'd ask God to help you be faithful in these days to where God's put you, where God's planted you, the field that God's put you in. Maybe here this morning you're looking specifically for your field. You ask God to guide you and don't be directed by man.
Lord, show me where you want me. Give me a field, God, to work in. Give me a field to labor in. Give me a field to reap in. God will put you in the field. He'll take care of you while you're in your field. This morning also might be a good time. Tomorrow, it's Faith Promise Sunday. Have you really sought the Lord and asked Him what He wants you to do concerning your faith promise given? Now would be a good time to come and just talk to Him again. Lord, reveal to me. Maybe He's already revealed. You might say, Lord, confirm it in my heart. What you want me to give. What you want me to do. Some's already come. Let's stand together for you to come.